Good morning, everybody. Parshas Bo. So we have a number of items on the sheet today. There are three items on the sheet, but I want to do another two items outside the sheet that are not recorded here. So let's start with number one. This is on the first pasuk of the Parsha from the Ikve Ben Yamin, from Rabbi Yaakov Lifshitz, a contemporary rabbi, a very fine Talmud Chochem in Muncie, New York, we've mentioned in the past. His namesake was named for his great-grandfather, Rabbi Yaakov Halevi Lifshitz, who was the secretary of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. So he writes on the pasuk, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe bo el paro. So Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to come to Paro, and the Ramban points out that the Torah does not record anything that he says to Paro. In fact, he doesn't say anything on this visit. And he quotes, Kasav HaRamban B'tchilas HaSeder, the Ramban writes, Ki ma tam bo el Paro. Why did he come to Paro? Ki lo amar klum. Lo amar lo klum. He didn't say anything to him. V'lo niskar rak b'divrei Moshe el Paro. And just mentions that he came. Ki hakasav kitzar b'zeh. The Torah is very limited in its presentation of Moshe's coming to Paro. He doesn't say anything to him. So what? How do we understand that the Torah records that he came to Paro and didn't say anything? What's the significance of this moment? There are sheets over there by the door.
Is the door shut?
No, it's okay, it's fine.
Just one, right?
That's right. So we're on item one. V'yesh lefaresh. We're explaining why, for those who have just joined us, at the opening of the Parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to go to Paro, but it doesn't say anything. There's no conversation. So yesh lefaresh, we can suggest an interpretation, shetziveyo Hashem bo el Paro, God commanded him to come to Paro, kilomar, in other words, sheyamod sham v'lo yipael nimen, that he should stand there, staring down Paro, and not to show that he's impressed with him. V'lo yitragesh migdulato, and not to be in awe or trembling of his majesty, his position, standing in front of Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, v'tokiv melchuso. Don't be, v'yamod sham be'imut halev, and stand there with conviction of heart. B'kiyum haftacha b'tzivui Hashem, in fulfillment of the trust in the command of God, bo, just go, laharot, to demonstrate she'en gedul l'faro. In other words, he tells Moshe to go to make a statement by not making a statement. Just stand there and present yourself in front of him and let him see who you are, that you're not afraid. And you really give him short shrift. V'zehu shehishtamsha haTorah b'bitui hit'alalti. That's why it says in the next few psukim, hit'alalti, pirush rashi, sachakti. God says, I played with Paro. Shetzarech ledat, we have to know, shegedulatam lifnei abore kischok, that his greatness is a joke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'en begvuratam mamash, and the greatness of the Egyptians is a fleeting greatness. It's not, it doesn't have a substantive reality. It's going to dissipate. Paro and all of Egypt. V'hanigalim tzrichim lavin, and the Jewish people are going to be redeemed, they have to understand, Yisrael ma'amad lifnei paro avadomalo, that Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to know that we can stand up in the face of any nation and show them that we are the chosen nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to demonstrate that surety. V'zehu leman tisaper ba'oznei bincha uben bincha. And that's why the Torah goes on to say, this is what I want you to tell your children and your children's children. She'emuvan zed datam. The entire nation should know this. V'yushrash b'diotav, and it should be rooted and ingrained in the hearts and minds of the Jewish people. Shemi Hashem yatsa davar, that from Hashem everything comes, from Hashem. V'hakol ke'efes lefanav yitbarach, and everything in front of HaKadosh Baruch was like nothing. V'ka'asher na'amin b'sipur zev yitziat Mitzrayim, And if we accept this story at the Exodus of Egypt, Ba'avur ze asa Hashem li, and we understand that it's because of this God did this to me, Sheyesh belibo ma'amad lefi hanidmeh letokef ha'gvura, that we will develop our own self-confidence when we, in the face of Paro and any future enemy that comes, and it should be va'az nishrash b'tochenu ha'emunah b'gu'ula ha'atida. And it will be inside, internalized with us, within us, the belief in the Geula and the confidence to go out with our heads high from Egypt. So that's an explanation why the pasuk begins, the Torah part begins by saying, Bo el Paro, come to Paro, and he doesn't say anything. It was just to stare him down and to show Paro that we are not unnerved by you. Okay, the next two pieces I want to do are two very different explanations of why the names of the months changed in this parsha. We're told, HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem. We're going to see now the first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people. HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem. But eventually, we're going to see historically, so what happened? HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim. Look at the pasuk. HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim. This month, referring to Nisan, is the first of months. Rishon Hu Lechem Lechodesh Hashan. Now this is the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people as a whole. Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctifying the new moon, establishing the Jewish calendar. And in the times of Chazal, today we just take out a calendar from the local supermarket or the butcher and you look up the date and you know when it was. Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh. But in the time of Chazal, there was a process, and that process will be restored, b'mheira v'yameinu. And the process was, witnesses came to the Beit Din, came to the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and they testified the position of the moon, and Rosh Chodesh was established on one day or another. And that's the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, right? And Nisan, we're told, is the first month, meaning that Nisan is one, and you count the months, 1, 2, 3, 4, from Nisan, which is going to change. We're going to see that in a minute. Of course, today we don't do that. But historically and technically, as far as the Torah is concerned, the numerology of the months is very important to us. And we're not, for example, I'll tell you a story. The Chasam Sofer, one of our great poskim, a couple of hundred years ago, wrote a tshuva, a response, as saying that it is forbidden for a Jew to write the date. Let's say today is what? January 26th.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't read my Jerusalem Post yet. January 26th. So you would write 1/26, right? 2012.
Yeah.
Some services are not allowed to do that. Because 1 is Nisan, not January. You should, it's only one opinion. Not everybody agrees with it. And the checks are very small. It's hard to do that on the checks, right? But that's the Chasam Sofer's position. Now I'll tell you a story that the first Rothschild, Anshel Rothschild, was a very pious person and a very wealthy person. He was the first Rothschild. And he employed in his house a sofer who, right, like your son. He employed in his house a sofer who would write mezuzahs. Now, I don't know, the way I heard the story, he rewrote the mezuzahs in the house every 30 days, right, and rewrote their tefillin. I don't really know if it was every 30 days, but he had him in the house. He wrote Sifrei Torah and Megillahs and mezuzahs. And once he presented Rothschild with a bill for the mezuzahs, and he wrote the date like 1/25, whatever the year was. And Rothschild fired him. Chasam Sofer pasuk, you're not allowed to do that. The HaChodesh HaZeh Rishon Hu L'Chadashim. It's Nisan is number one, not January. So some people take this very seriously, because essentially this is the way we do refer to Torah refers to these months. Now, before I do these two things, I want to explain something which I think is very important. I'm going to ask you a question. Why is this the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people? You would think that there are other mitzvahs that should be given to Klal Yisrael as a whole. In fact, the very next mitzvah that's given, the Torah speaks about the Korban Pesach. So the Korban Pesach is a very important mitzvah. You'd think that Korban Pesach could be the first mitzvah of Klal Yisrael. Why is the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people the mitzvah of sanctifying the new moon? which doesn't seem to be so significant. So I want to share with you an answer that was offered by a chavrus of mine many, many years ago. His name is Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Rothman. He's a Talmud Chacham who lives in Brooklyn, New York. And he said the following. In fact, this week I saw in a sefer that was published recently from a rabbi Label Hyman, Zichron Livrach, who passed away this year. If you live in Bayit Vegan, he was the Rav of the Gra Shul in Bayit Vegan, Rabbi Label Hyman. And he wrote a sefer, Chikrei Lev, and he says really the same answer that this my friend Rabbi Rothman says. The answer is that Kiddush HaChodesh is in fact a mitzvah of global importance to the Jewish people. Because what is Kiddush HaChodesh? The ability to establish the calendar was given over to the Jewish people. You know, like in a real estate deal, you have a turnkey operation. You give over the key to the building, and it's your building. That's how you do a real estate. That's called a turnkey operation in real estate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the key to the calendar, to the Jewish people, to Klal Yisrael through the Beis Din, through the court. So that the Beis Din, Klal Yisrael, has the ability to establish when the Chagim are. So and theoretically, they could establish Pesach in August. We have to go with the determination of Beis Din. So they had the power, Beis Din has the power, Klal Yisrael has the power to establish the Luach HaIvri, the Jewish calendar, which means the whole flow, the whole continuum of Jewish life and Torah and mitzvahs. So Kiddush HaChodesh is a very central and significant mitzvah, and that's why it was the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael. So now let's see, again, two very different interpretations of how we got to the names of the months that we use today. The first is from the Ber Yosef. Ber Yosef, remember last week I couldn't remember the name of the Sefer, I put it down without the Sefer, and Doreen wants to know the names of the rabbis, so this is Rabbi Yosef Salant. Rabbi Yosef Salant, as I think I mentioned last week, was one of those great holy rabbis that you see walking around Mei Sharim on Shabbos Yom Tov with the golden kaftans and the shtreimels. Not Hasidim necessarily, Minig Yerushalayim. This is Minig Yerushalayim to wear a shtreimel. But he was part of the Mekubalim, the Kabbalists of Yerushalayim. There's a yeshiva in Mekubalim in Mei Sharim. And the average age of the students there is about 60 or 70 years old. These are great scholars. He was one of them. He was a great orator. And when he died, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, great Rabbi Orbach, convinced his children to publish his drushes. So this is an essay from him on this issue. Okay? Kasav HaRamban. The Ramban writes, Tam HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim. What's the reason for this? She Yimnu Oto Yisrael Chodesh HaRishon. That we should consider Nisan to be the first month, in counting months. Umimenu Yimnu Kol HaChodeshim, Sheni Ushlishi, Ad Tashlum Hashana V'Shani V'Shnemesar Chodesh. So you start with Nisan, and all 12 months, you go from Nisan right through to the end, right? There's four Rosh Hashanahs. One of them is Nisan. This is not Tishrei. Nisan is for Rosh Hashanah LeChadashim, LeMelochim. Kings would date their documents based on Nisan being the first month. K'dei sheyezeh zikaron b'neis hagadol. Why is this? Why is Nisan the first month? As a memorial to the great miraculous event that took place in Nisan, the Exodus from Egypt, Yitziat Mitzrayim. Ki b'kol eid shenizkor hachadashim. Every time we mention and remember the months, Yehei Hanes Nizkar, the miracle of Yitziat Mitzrayim should be remembered. V'al kein ein lechadashim shem b'Torah. Therefore, there's no name for the months in the Torah, because we want to remember the first month. You know, the second, the third. Third to what? Third month to what? Third to the first. Oh, Nisan, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. So that memory should always be, it should be more than a memory. It should be a living memory. Eli Yomar, Bachodesh HaShlishi, etc. Bachodesh HaSheni, Nala HaNan, second month, the cloud appeared, Bachodesh HaShvi, Be'echad LaChodesh, etc. You see, he's giving examples of Psuki. Ukvar hiskiu rabotenu zehinyan, v'amru the rabbis in our oral tradition, this is a chapter in the Jerusalem Talmud. Shmot hachadashim alu imanu bibavel. The new names that we now call to the months came with us from Bavel, from the Babylonian exile. Why? Ki mitchila lo hayu lehem shmot. That's lenu. At first, the months did not have names. They were the first, the second, the third. V'hasiba b'zeh. What's the reason? Ki mitchila haya binyanam zecher liyitziat Mitzrayim. Because at first, as you just pointed out, the names of the months were to be a memorial to Yitzias Mitzrayim, to remember that miracle. Aval ka'asher alinu mibavim. But when we left the Babylonian exile, v'nit kayem, and it was fulfilled, Masha Amar HaKatuv, what was written by Yirmiyahu the prophet, v'lo yomar od, che Hashem, asher helet b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. People will no longer speak of the God who took the Jewish people out of Egypt. Ki im chai Hashem asher ha'alah v'asher hevi'et b'nei Yisrael me'eretz tzafon. But people will say, great is the God who took the people out of Babylonia. So we now have to remember the miracle of leaving Bavel, of leaving Babylonia. Hence, chazarnu likro ha'chadashim b'shem shenikra'im be'eretz Bavel. We began to call the names again by those names that we used in Babylonia. Lahazkir, to remind ourselves, ki sham amadnu umisham ha'elinu Hashem yitbarach. There we were captive, and from there HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. Ulahazkir b'chadashim, and to remember with the mention of the months, ha'gu'ula hashniya, the second redemption of the Jewish people. The first was from Egypt. That was the first month, second month, the third month. The second redemption was from Bavel, which is Nisan, Tishrei, etc. Ka'asher asinu adhena b'gu'ula harishon. So this is what we do. Likro shmot l'chadoshim. Now, he wants to say, now he's going to offer a very, very fascinating suggestion as to why we dafke do it now, at this point in time historically. V'ula yesh lo hasif. Let me suggest a kind of rabbinic PS, he says. Od tam al ma shechazru likro shmot l'chadoshim b'mei Ezra. This was the time of Ezra HaSofer. Why in the time of Ezra was there such a dramatic change? Imagine, you know, I remember as a child, in the middle of my grade school years, I think, they started, high school, I don't remember when, but at a certain point they started to change from feet and yards to centimeters. Right, in meters. You remember that? Right, I'm aging myself. And we had, and then the new math. You know, you had to learn, you're in the middle, you had to start the new math. Imagine that there's all of a sudden everything, the newspapers, and there's announcements that you can't use the calendar, puts everything, all documents are put in confusion, right? We have to now we have to redate all of our documents. So why dafke in the time of Ezra? What was the significance of that? So he's going to say something very special. I don't know if you ever heard this, but he's going to quote something from our oral tradition. It's a very famous passage in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Al pimasha amr b'Gemara Sanhedrin. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, Roy haya Ezra shetinaten haTorah al yado li Yisrael ilmale kidmu Moshe. Ezra was so great. Ezra HaSofer was such an outstanding human being, and such a mushlam, such a complete and near perfect person in his intellect, in his ruchnius, in everything, in spirituality, that if not for the fact that Moshe preceded him, Ezra was fit to have the Torah given to us through him. That's how great Ezra was. Va'afal pishalonit. So now, afal pishalonit the Torah on Yado. So God has to do something to indicate a kind of, what he's going to demonstrate here is a kind of second Kabbalah Satorah, a kind of second startup nation. Oh, that would be the good name for a book, right? A kind of good startup, a new startup nation for Klal Yisrael, right? You had Moshe Rabbeinu, you had the Torah was given on Har Sinai. So now, Ezra, Shnishtana al Yado Haksav. our oral tradition tells us this is also a passage in this Gemara in Sanhedrin, the same Gemara in Sanhedrin on Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel. The Gemara talks about the fact that, you know, that there was an original Ksav Ivri. You're familiar with that. You've seen pictures of the original Ivri writing of Hebrew. It didn't look like our Hebrew. It looked, you know, the old Hebrew was very different than our Hebrew. Now there's a whole discussion of whether originally we did have what we call today, our Hebrew is called Ksav Ashuris, Ktav Ashurit. That's our Hebrew today. But Hebrew was changed from Ksav Ivri to Ksav Ashuris. Now, according to some, it's Machlokas HaRishonim. According to some Rishonim, really originally it was Ashuris and it was changed back to Ivri and then changed back to to Ashuris. So ours is Ashuris, but when did it change? Who changed it from the original Ksav Ivri? If you go look in the Encyclopedia Judaica, for example, under Aleph Beit, under Alphabet, and you'll see pictures there, or go to the museum, and you'll see tablets from the original Hebrew, the Ksav Ivri. Who changed it? Ezra changed it. You hear the significance? He couldn't give the Torah. He was fit to give the Torah, except that Moshe preceded him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do something to demonstrate a kind of new giving of the Torah, so to speak. You can't give the Torah again. The Torah was given. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a number of things with Ezra to demonstrate that it's a new Torah kind of thing. So number one, he changed the Ksav. He changed, under his tutelage, the Ksav was changed to Ksav Ashuri, the alphabet that we have today. Im ken yitaken lomos, I want to suggest, says the rabbi, shekemo shenishtana haksav al yidei Ezra, just like the Ktav was changed by Ezra, shebishvil shehaya roi shetinaten Torah al yado, since he was fit for the Torah to have been given through him, right? Lechein lefachot, at least, nishtane al yado haktav, at least let's change the writing. Let's change, we can't change the words of the Torah, but let's change the alphabet. Shehaktav hi rosh v'rishon limud haTorah. The Aleph Beit is, that's the beginning, that's the Aleph Beit of learning Torah is the Aleph Beit, right? You start with Aleph Beit. Kimoke, therefore, lichvodo shel Ezra, in honor of Ezra, afal pi shelo nitna Torah u'mitzvot al yado, even though the Torah and mitzvot were not given by him, mishum shekidma Moshe, because Moshe was there first to receive it and give it, b'chol zot, that being said, shinu al yado shmot hachadoshim, so we now change the names of the months of which by which the Jewish people live with Torah in his time. Shemitzvot hachodesh hi mitzvah rishona shenitzvah v'Yisrael. Because why dafka do something dramatic with the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh in Ezra's time? Because this is the first mitzvah that the Jewish people receive. So again, another startup nation with Ezra. Startup nation number one, changing the alphabet of the Torah. Startup nation number two with Ezra, change the first month, the first mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael. Adjust the first mitzvah, change the names of the months. Skip the parentheses, about five lines from the bottom. Ulechein, therefore, Karu'um, Mizman Ezra ve'elech, from the time of Ezra and afterwards, Bishemot Elu, in these names. Shehayu Nikraim Bizmano, Biyutam Bavel. These were the names that were, the months were called in Ezra's time in Bavel. Ve'alu Imo Bavel. And the names came with him from Bavel. V'hinichulo le'Ezra makom. This gave Ezra a place in Torah history, hein behaktav, both in the written word of the Torah that was given to Moshe, but in a sense re-given to Ezra because the alphabet, the aleph base was changed. Shehi hareshit limudash Torah, which is the beginning of learning the Torah. V'hein b'mitzvot hachodesh, and in the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, Shehu Rishona l'kiyum ha-mitzvot shenitzavu Yisrael, which is the first mitzvah that the Jewish people were given to keep. Beautiful idea. Just a really, really a beautiful idea. And you see how he's so easy to follow. Now, the second approach to this is from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And that's number three on the back, on the other sheet. And Rabbi Yaakov begins by dealing with the exact same idea, how the name, here we have a mitzvah in the Torah to call the names by their cardinal or ordinal numbers, the first month, the second month, third month, and how historically, in the time of Ezra, it was changed. And he is going to offer another chiddush, a kind of a daring idea, again, as to why they were changed, but in a totally different direction. Just see a totally different idea. Okay, so he starts off. The Emes Liakov is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He's a great Godel Yisrael in the 20th century. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas Yeshiva New York. Before that, he was a Rov in Toronto from 1939 to 1945 or 1946. HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim, same pasuk. This month is the first of the months. And he quotes the Ramban, Kasav HaRamban Zal, V'kvar Hizkiru Rabotenu, our rabbis told us in this chapter of the Gemara in Yerushalmi, Zeh HaInyan V'amru Shmot HaChodeshim Alu Mimenu Imanu Mibavel, these names came with us from Bavel, Ki Mitchila Lo Hayu Lehem Shemot Etzleinu, never had names, Aval Kasher Alinu Mibavel, when we came out of, when we were freed, redeemed from Babylonian exile, Chazarna Likra Harashim Shenikraim Ba'eretz Bavel. We again refer to the names in the Babylonian. Lahazkir ki sham iman amadnu visham alinu Hashem Yisborach. Hashem saved us. Ki Eila Hashem, now, listen carefully. Ki Eila Hashemot Nisan Iyar Vizulatan Shmot Parsiim. These are Persian names. V'lo yimtzerak v'sifrei neviyei Bavel. You won't find them, with rare exception, which he's going to quote, in Tanakh. Ube Megillat Esther. You'll find it in Megillas Esther. You'll find a number of these months mentioned. That's the Ramban. Now, Vihine Yeshli Tmoa, he's asking the question from even from a little bit of a different aspect. Madu Be'emet, Azvu Loshen HaTorah, why do we leave the language of the Torah, first month, second month, third month, V'naktu Loshen Paras, and why do we take Persian names? Ubefrat, listen, B'shmot ha-chadashim sheyesh b'hem shmot shemot avodah zarah. Kuan Tammuz. If you remember, if you studied Yirmiyahu in Tanakh, Tammuz was an idol, was an avodah zarah. So how come we adopt these names when some of them are even avodah zarah? U'be'met, truth be told, matzinu shebimei bayit sheni, in the time of the Second Temple, hayta ha-safa ha-meduberet b'Yisrael loshen arami. What was the language that people spoke in the time of the Second Temple? They spoke Aramaic. V'rak divrei Torah kosu b'loshen HaKodesh. Only Torah was written in the Hebrew language. V'alo. Now, if you have a pencil, draw a line. This under the next line, because it'll show you. V'alo b'mitzrayim in Egypt, hayu mishabchim otam. Now, if you have to go to the next, the top column here, because I made a mistake when I prepared the sheet. You draw a line here, all right? And under that, we'll come to that. We're going to go to the top of the left-hand column now. V'halo b'mitzrayim hayu mishabchim otam. We were praised in Egypt. Shelo shinu et l'shona. That we never changed our language. In Egypt, we kept to the Hebrew language. So what's this all about? If in Egypt we were praised because we spoke Hebrew, right? Top of the left-hand column, that's where we are. How come by the time we got to the Second Temple we weren't speaking Hebrew anymore? What was that all about? I want to suggest, he says, I'm going to give you a preamble, and from there we'll understand what's going on here. In other words, it's not by accident that we slipped into Aramaic. And it's not by accident that we slipped into changing the names of the months. And it's not by accident that a few other things happened. And he's going to explain what and why. Here's his preamble. Yesh lahavin, we have to understand, a statement of the rabbis in our oral tradition. This is a Gemara in Yuma, it's a Talmudic passage. Shebebayit sheni, in the time of the Second Temple, in the Second Temple itself, chasru chamisha dvarim, there were five items missing that we had in the first Beis HaMikdash that we did not have in the Second Temple. The harishon man, the first was hu ha'aron, the ark. The ark did not exist in the Second Temple. Asher nignaz bimei Yoshiyahu ha'melech. It was hidden in the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Ulechura mashma, it would appear, at first glance, dehatam shechaser ha'aron v'bayit hasheni, that the reason why the Aron was missing in the second temple, hu mishum shenita alei min ha'ayin, it got lost. Somehow, it just got lost. He says, ach, lo kein, mashma v'sed ha'shkolim, but this is not, if you look in a passage in the Talmud, you'll see this is not the case. The Isa Hasam, the Torah says, Maisa b'koyer echa shahayim nisa seik. There was a certain Kohen who was working in the temple one day, and he saw that the floorboards, the floor was not even, something was uneven in the floor. Bova amar lechaveiro, he went to his fellow Kohen and said, look what's going on here. Lo he speak ligmar davar, he couldn't finish the sentence, achi yatsa neshmasa, he died. His soul was taken from him, so as not to reveal what was going on. V'yedu b'yichud, but what happened, the Kohanim realized on that day, Shesham Ha'aron Nignaz, that the Aron was hidden here and they were not to touch it. That's the Mishnah. Powerful Mishnah, eh? Hare Avshi Yodu Eifo Ha'aron Nignaz, but this, it just, now the question is really strange. Even though they knew where that the Aron was hidden and where it was, Afal Pikein Lo Ha'elu L'mekomo B'Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim, but they didn't restore it to its rightful place in the temple. They didn't use it. The entire period of the second temple, they knew where the Aron was. The Aron was hidden under the floor, and they didn't use the Aron. What's that all about? Ubehechrach, we have to say, Shahayita Siba Miyuchedet. There has to be a reason, a specific reason. Shebebai Sheni Lo Yeh Aron B'Mekomo Madu. Why? What's this all about? So now he's going to tie this in with this change in the language, too. Here's his suggestion. And it's quite daring and quite and beautiful. Nira, it would appear, she'ulai, she'olei Bavel, that the Jews who came from Babylonia, she'banu es habayit sheni, right? We came from Bavel, and we built a temple, but it was a temporary situation, the Beis HaMikdash at that time, right? We were not in the Beis HaMikdash for an extended period of time. We were eventually going to go back into Galus again, after the second temple. So, perhaps he says that the Olei Bavel, those Jews, yadu, they knew, ki lo zeh binyan asher yamod l'olami. They knew that this building was not going to last forever. This was a temporary spiritual peak. Ve'ein chazaratam le'eretz Yisrael b'tekufa zu, and their return to Eretz Yisrael at this historical period was not ha'geula ha'shlema, was not the ultimate redemption. Da'atam hayita, their understanding was ki binyan habayit b'tkufa hazot, that the building of the temple in this period lo nuad el lahachin et ha'am l'tkufat hagalut ha'arucha, that it was only given to them as a kind of benefit to spiritually strengthen them for the long galus which will come, to have a period of time where they can be strengthened. This, by the way, was the idea in the Parsha when Moshe asks Paro to let the people go out for 3 days. What did he want to do? What did he want to get them out for? He wanted to have a Shabbaton. He wanted to take them into a spiritual retreat to strengthen them spiritually so they could survive the Egyptian slavery, right? Incidentally, the word retreat is not a Jewish word. Where does it come from? The Catholics have retreats. They go into the forest, they go to a hotel, they call it a retreat. So some of our organizations have adopted Torah retreats. But really, it's not a retreat. It should be called a forward, right? Shabbaton should be called a forward, not a retreat. We're not retreating. We're going forward, right? So I never liked the word. Okay, anyway, that's just a silly aside. But here, this was kind of, that's what the leadership of Klal Yisrael, the Gedol Yisrael at this period of time, historically understood, that this was a temporary gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to strengthen us spiritually in order to be able to survive the ultimate goals that we were going to go into. Al pi shurat hadin, he says, and really, you want to get technical, hayu heim tzrichim lishaer bebavel od zman rav. We really should have stayed in Babylonia a lot longer. Not be able to come back there as Israel. Ela sheraata haashgacha, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw shekvar la'achar 70 shana shogalos, after only 70 years of Golos, Bavel, right? Kfar nitma v'nitarev rov ha'al nimagoyim. There was tremendous intermarriage. There was tremendous assimilation. Just 70 years, right?
Look, you know, seems identical to what's look, happening today.
Look what's happening today. But look what happened to Russia. I want to say Russia, the 70 years in Russia. The miracle is that there were pockets of Jews in Russia who kept Torah and mitzvahs. And the miracle is also that those Jews coming out of Russia, who were not connected at all, their neshamas are coming back. Of course, the tragedy is there are so many that have not, and other problems politically that I don't want to get into in terms of today's Aliyah. But the 70 years in Golos Bavel, God saw already how we deteriorated spiritually as a nation. Ubarur kishemesh. It was as clear as the noonday sun. Ki'im yit akvu b'nei Yisrael b'galut. Meot v'alpe shanim. If we would stay a couple of hundred, a thousand years in Babylonia, we would have now go to the right hand column under the line. Sha'az bevada lo yatzliach ha'am lihisha'er bizehuto hamuchedet. We clearly would not have maintained our unique identity. You see that modern word there? Tudat zehut? Identity, you see that? That magic word? Ha'am lihisha'er bezehuto hamiyuchedet. If we would have stayed there any longer in Bavel, we would not have maintained our unique identity. Vishuv lo yiyeh et mi ligol. There wouldn't be anybody left to redeem. The Jewish people would have completely assimilated. Ulechein, therefore, chamal Hashem al amo, God had mercy on his people. Vehotziyam mi Bavel, and he took us out of Babylonia. Vehechziram ba'ofen zmani, and he took us out ba'ofen zmani for a temporary, you know, what's the word? A temporary hiatus? Pardon?
Forward.
A temporary forward. Very good. Excellent. L'Eretz Yisrael. Took us for a forward into Eretz Yisrael. Ubana lahem et beit ha'bechira and built for us the Beis HaMikdash. V'hakol b'chdei shi'ashuvu v'yitchazku v'yisodot. And these are also that we would do tshuva, we would return. We would return to the basic principles of faith. V'yu mechusanim likreit tekufat hagalut hamara. And that we would be prepared and, you know, strengthened for the long, bitter galus ahead. Now, here comes his chiddush. Here comes his nuance. Here comes the language change. Here comes the Arad not being used, even though they knew where it was, and a few other things. Bichdei lahadgish, so the Jewish people would understand, you know, the reality of their situation. Ulahamchish la'am she'adayin heim lo nigalu, so that the Jewish people should know this was not the end of the rainbow, that this was not the idyllic society. This was only temporary. V'chi be'etzem adayin heim begalus, in a certain sense, they were still in Galus. They were not in Geula. They were still out. Even though they were in Eretz Yisrael, they were not in Eretz Yisrael yet. It was only temporary. Lo ha'elu et ha'aron. The Aron was not used in the Beis HaMikdash. Mekor ha'kedusha, the Bayit Rishon, which was the centerpiece of sanctity in the first temple, right? It was the microchip. And that was dafka not used. Mimakom shenignazu v'hishiru bimakomo. From the place where it was hidden, it stayed there. Ki adayin ein ha'gavula shlema. Because the redemption was not complete. Next. Machmat hakaratam zu. Because of this awareness that they had to have. Sha'adayin lo higi ha'gavula shlema. That the ultimate redemption has not arrived. Hinhigu ole bavel kame v'kame inyanim. Sheyu osim. So therefore the Jewish people maintained a number of galus minhagim, a number of minhagim from Chutz La'aretz, even though they were living in Eretz Yisrael, in order to remind themselves that they were not here permanently. Laharot shebe'emet tekufat ha'galus b'chol bavel, the period of galus bavel, adayin nimshechet, they were still in a certain sense in Golos Babel, even though they were in Eretz Yisrael. V'habinyan hanivna, and the building, the Bnei Samishu was built, enu ela arai, it was temporary. V'atid liyicharev, and it eventually was going to be destroyed. Mach matzeh kisha'al mibavel, therefore because of this, one of the minhagim, the customs of Chutz La'aretz that they kept, chazru likro et shmot ha-chadashim b'shem shenikru b'bavel. That's why they used the names, the Babylonian months. They changed the names to the Babylonian months as a reminder that this is not temporary in Eretz Yisrael. When we will ultimately be here, it'll be the first, the second, the third. This was a reminder. Kemosh Kasama Ramban, as the Ramban writes, Lahazkir, to remind ourselves, Kishama Magnu, Umisham He'alino Hashem. Kilona, this sentence is missing, I think, in your sheets. The last sentence is Kilomar, in other words, Kedeli's core. In order to remember, Shebe'emet lo nigalu. I'll go back to the top here. Mushlam. Our galus was, our geula, our redemption was not complete. Ulechein, gam lishonam nishar beloshen hagalus. And that's why loshen harami. That's why we dafka spoke Aramaic, right? The leaders of the Jewish people at that time felt we'll still speak Aramaic. So we'll understand that people understand this is we're not here. We're only temporary. V'lo chazru l'daber v'lo shon ha-kodesh, and they did not return to speaking Hebrew. Ma sha'haya mara ki'ilu heim nigalu ba'ofen sofi, which would have indicated that this was an ultimate redemption. V'nira shezeh gam hatam, and one more idea, he says, not two more ideas. And perhaps that's another reason why, madua, shenichtav ha-talmud ha-yerushalmi ba'aramit. You know, the Talmud Bavli is in Aramaic. The Babylonian Talmud is written in Aramaic. Why is the Jerusalem Talmud written in Aramaic? It was written in Yerushalayim. It should be written in Hebrew. But the Yerushalmi is written in Aramaic. And I might say a very different kind of Aramaic. Yerushalmi to study the Jerusalem Talmud is a little bit different than the Babylonian Talmud. The language is different, a little bit different. The Bishlam HaBavli Shenichtav BaBavel. The Babylonian Talmud was written in Babylon. Nichtav b'sfat ha-medina, so it was written in the language. Aval ha-Yerushalmi, shenichtav be'eretz Yisrael. Jerusalem Talmud was written in Israel. Madua nichtav b'aramit. Why was it written in Aramaic? Aval dvarenu, according to my thesis, nasezeh me'atam hanal. The Babylonian Talmud, the Jerusalem Talmud was written in Aramaic. The language of the people was Aramaic. The Aram was hidden, even though they didn't use it, even though they knew where it was. And the names of the months were used for Babylon in order to indicate that this is a temporary period of spiritual freedom in Eretz Yisrael, but we're not going to be here for long. For Ayin Le'el, one more item, one more Chutz La'aretz Minhag. Shabiarta explained in another parsha, Madua Be'emet Lo Kam Melech Mimalchut Beit Avi. We talked about this around Chanukah. How come a king from Beit David was not appointed? A king in the Davidic dynasty from Shevet Yehuda. How come the kings were from the Chashmonaim, from the Kohanim, which was against the law? Ki la'amid melech mizera ha-malucha hayata ba'oto sha keneged ruach ha-makom. To appoint a melech from Shevet Yehuda would go against the grain of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Now, this is not, it would have smacked of Geula Shlema. It would have smacked of Sofi. We've arrived. We have not arrived here. This is a false arrival. It's a temporary arrival. So I cannot appoint a melech from Shevet Yehuda. Ki hamlacha melech mi mishpachas David hamelech hayisat mispareshes ki ilu higiyu keitz hayamim v'geula ha'atida. If we would appoint a melech from David's dynasty, it would indicate that the Geula had arrived, the ultimate redemption. Ulechein lohiru chachomim lebeis hashmonoim al shehim lichu atzman. And therefore the chachomim did not punish the hashmonoim for appointing malachim. We know that ultimately, we talked about this at Hanukkah, they disappeared. There's nobody from the hashmonoim anymore. But there was a reason for all of this, says Rabbi Yaakov, all four of these Minhagei galus, chutz la'aretz minhagim, were to remind Klal Yisrael that when they returned from Bavel, it was a temporary stay in Eretz Yisrael, in order to give them this spiritual strength, the strength in Ruchnias, to go into Galus. Okay, one more item I want to do that's not on the sheet, and that is to explain the idea, brilliant idea, right? is to explain the idea of Kaved Lev Paro. What is this? What is going on here? Kaved Lev Paro. Each time Moshe comes back, he does another miracle, and Paro's heart is hardened. And again, what is with Paro? Is he crazy? Right? The whole country's falling apart. The physicality of Mitzrayim is in total disarray. And people are dying. What's going on here? What's Kaved Lev Paro? So I want to explain this based on a comment of the Or Sameach, the Meshech Chochma, in his introduction to Sefer Shmos. In his introduction to Sefer Shmos, the Or Sameach says something very important. This is Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk. The Or Sameach Yeshiva was named after him, and one of his Sforim is the Or Sameach. His Sefer on Chumash was the Meshech Chochma. I think, correctly, he wrote the Meshech Chochma when he was 16 years old. He's obviously a very special, gifted person, the Meshech Chochma, doesn't need our approbation. But his father did not let him publish the Meshech Chochma, because in Lithuania of the Meshech Chochma's day, everybody could write a Chumash, a book, a Sefer on Chumash. So it would just get lost on the shelf. You know, there's so many Sforim to buy and read, no one's going to read it. First publish your Chidushim in Shas. First publish your Talmudic novel, your Torah on Gemara and on the Rambam. People will then see who you are and then publish the Chumash. And that's what happened. That's what happened. Meshech Chochma is a classic. The Or Sameach is a classic. Or Sameach was one of the Gedolei Ador. And he says something very profound about Kaved Lev. He doesn't relate it to Kaved Lev Paro, but that's what he's talking about. One of the basic notions of Jewish faith is Bechira, free will, right? So we live with free will. God gives us the ability to make decisions. The goal of free will, this might come as a surprise to you, the Meshech Chochma explains, is to be beyond Bechira. To be above Bechira. What does that mean, to be above Bechira? Very simple. Take a Baal Tshuva, someone who wasn't religious, and they become religious, and it's a struggle. And they love, you know, and Shabbos is so hard. So Shabbos is like, wait, Shabbos is coming. Am I going to keep Shabbos? Am I not going to keep Shabbos? So they question whether I'm going to keep, and they keep Shabbos at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Shabbos at night, I can't take it anymore. I have to have a cigarette, right? I didn't make it this week. Finally, they make it, but it's a struggle. Will I keep Shabbos? Will I not keep Shabbos? I drive by McDonald's. Oh, wait, break into a cold sweat. I want to have that cheeseburger, right? Will I have it? Will I not have it? Eventually, you grow in your Torah, right? Ishal Machanev, Ishal Diglo, each and every one of us on our level. And I can drive by the McDonald's. I wouldn't even think of going into McDonald's. Shabbos is coming. I'm going to keep Shabbos. Do we think on Friday, well, maybe this Shabbos I'm going to take off. You know, this I'm going to take off the Shabbos. I'm going to wait a lot. I'm going to get out of here. I don't need this Shabbos, right? Because why is that? Because we're beyond Bechira. We're above Bechira. We cannot not keep Shabbos. Just like you can be above Bechira because you do the right thing all the time, if you keep doing the wrong thing, you can be below Bechira. Paro was below. He couldn't help himself anymore. Kaved Lev Paro means that Paro was also beyond Bechira. He had created such a monstrous personality, his persona was such a spiritually devoid person, that he could not do the right thing anymore. That's what it means, Kaved Lev Paro. And the Maral explains it to us linguistically and in a certain sense physiologically. Kaved Lev Paro, the Maral explains that when a person is in charge, when he makes the right decisions in Bechira, he's a melech. You're a melech, you're a king if you make the right decisions, right? You're a melech. So your melech is like a person functions properly is moach, the brain,